Welcome, everyone, to the ChompCast, the official podcast of Sword Chomp. Thank you for downloading or streaming our podcast, taking some time out of your busy life to listen to us. And don't forget, if you're digging the show, please subscribe and leave us a kind rating. It really helps us get the show out to reach new people. My name is Morgan Barnes, live from my studio in Montana. I'll be hosting the podcast today, joined by my good friends and fellow co-hosts. I'll get to some quick introductions here. From Japan, Mr. Shay Layton.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. And from the great state of Texas, Mr. Anthony Fisher.
Hello, everybody.
And I give you guys, really simple intros this week after last week, or as like these, I worked on these really long, extravagant intros, and it just kind of blew up in my face. So,
That was actually very entertaining to watch go down.
Things blowing up in my face, Fish? Is that what you like to watch?
All sorts of stuff, yeah.
Sometimes I try a little bit too hard, and it comes back to haunt me. But, it's going to be a fun show today. Josh is not here. I want to mention that real briefly. This is the first show that Josh has ever missed, so we'll pour one out for our dear brother. Josh is moving.
To the great city of Valhalla, the great beyond. It's been a pleasure knowing you, Josh. May your Viking funeral bring you to the afterlife.
I just like see Josh's.
I was thinking of Fury or Max Payne. Oh wait, not Max Payne. What the fuck?
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Where they go Max to Payne.
No, you were really thinking about Max Payne, apparently, Fish.
No, I was thinking of returning shiny and chrome. And it's one of the things whenever those like the soldiers of that one dude who's like. Telling them all, you're going to return from Valhalla, shiny and chrome. And it's like a big thing for them. They're all like, I want to be shiny and chrome.
Everyone wants to be shiny and chrome.
I want to be the guitar guy. Yeah. Shooting flames out of my guitar.
No. That's the first time a drummer has ever said, I want to be the guitar guy.
And it will be the last. Dave Grohl was the first one to say that.
He did. He made the correct switch into the world of guitaring. Nothing? Nothing?
I seethed quietly and then I unmuted myself.
Unmute that seethe. it was kind of sad. Josh sent us some pictures of him just like leaving his house for good, and that's always kind of a bittersweet feeling. So, safe travels to our good friend Josh. He'll be back next week. And hopefully he listens to this show and he'll have some stuff to, argue with us about.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully you enjoy Dave's basement, Josh. I had some good times there. It's your turn.
It's Josh's turn to experience. It's going to be an awesome show, as usual. So for this week, the lineup, we have a little bit of a Castlevania and Metroid deep dive. That I'll get to a little bit later. I've been playing Castlevania on the 3DS, inspired by Samus Returns dropping at E3. We have a little Prey talk, because Fish's wife bought him Prey as some sort of a gift. Was it an anniversary gift or something?
Yeah, it was an anniversary gift from her.
How sweet. And maybe a little Japanese gaming cafe talk, because Shay's going to head there later. But the topic of the week is our most anticipated games of our lives. And that is no joke. And what we try to do on the podcast is try to find a topic that somewhat we can weave into the news or some point of our lives that makes it somewhat topical and concurrent. This week there wasn't a lot of gaming news, but we just got off of E3, which is basically like nothing but gaming news bukkake all over our faces for a whole week. So we're kind of cleaning up all of that bukkake residue, and I was thinking that how much we anticipate all these games, like, oh, this game's coming out in 2018, or Metroid's launching in 3 months, and really what E3 does is it just gets us really excited for shit that we have to wait for. And some people handle that differently. Some people don't care. They're cool with waiting. Some people pre-order stuff right away, et cetera. So that got me thinking, talking to you guys as friends, sit down, say, what, looking back over your life, like, what are some of the most, like, anticipated games of your life where it was, like, on another level? It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, that game's coming out in a couple months. Cool. I look forward to playing it. It was like, I need this thing now. I can't stop thinking about it. I want to go pre-order. Whatever it happens to be. So should be a fun show. But that is just kind of a little background on where the topic came from. And I guess I'll lead into it as well myself, because you guys are giving me shit before the show. I know it's kind of a weird topic, but for me, I don't know what jumped out first for you guys, but for me, it was definitely Pokemon X and Y. I'm sure you guys remember that time very well.
Oh, yeah, the going going to 3D, I guess, fully 3D.
Yes.
Fully beautiful cartoon. Yeah, I mean, for me, you guys know the joke. I've been like one of the biggest Pokemon fans since I was a kid, and I was deeply entrenched in Pokemon at the time, like hunting shinies and kind of going back to the older games. Me and Fish started a very brief Pokemon podcast that lasted two episodes.
The Poke Club.
I remember that. I remember that. That shit was funny.
It was good times. What was it called, Fish?
Poke Club Radio.
Yeah, that's wrong. It was the Poke Radio Club.
Oh.
God damn it. Don't even remember the name of it.
I don't care about that podcast.
God, I'm just like the woman who leaves Fish's apartment in the morning and you can't even remember my name. Disgusting. I know how you operate. It was a weird, like, anyways, some weird shit happened in my life and we lost our ability to do so. And we weren't really editing it. We weren't really taking it that seriously. It was just a way for us to kind of get Pokemon off our chest. But I was fucking balls deep in Pokemon for months. And I remember one day I was at work and I walked downstairs and got on our work computers. We had computers in like our break room that we could use for just like recreational purposes. And that was when, I think it was in May, when they announced that they were going to make Pokemon X and Y. And they had the starters and they sort of like the visuals for the game. And it was just a huge deal in the world of Pokemon, because Pokemon was going to finally look like our childhood. It was going to finally look like the cartoon, right? I mean, that's what I had always wanted, was for Pokemon to finally emulate the look of the television show, which is kind of what they're always going for. I don't know if you guys remember that time at all or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like,
yeah,
I was very excited about like the animations in battle, because it wasn't just a static image that was moving about and effects flying off of them. It was the fact that they were 3D rendered, and like the camera would pan around the battlefield at times whenever you sit idle with it. So it was big. Yeah. They were introducing a lot of big shit in that game, and it was enough to get you really hyped about a Pokemon game.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
I agree. I was going to say, okay, There's not really much to add to that. I remember the anticipation of, because this is back when I was going to college still and working at Home Depot, and I would just pop on every morning at work, and I'd be like, oh, have they released any new Pokemon? Have they announced a new type or anything like that? And I would remember getting super hyped and messaging you about it and talking to some people at work about it and just getting really excited. Yeah, that was a good time.
It was. We used to do for people that don't know this, and there's really no way they could, pretty much everyone who is on this podcast right now, and then, of course, Josh, we used to get together and have these, like, private Pokemon tournaments. And I remember we had a tournament the night Pokemon X and Y released, and it was, like, such a good way to, like, build hype. You know, we had trained and leveled up our teams, like, bred them out, like, these perfect Pokemon. We battled out, and then I remember as we were all kind of going to Walmart or whatever to get our games, we had been looking online to, like, we spoiled all the Pokemon for ourselves, which was, I don't know how I feel about that now, you know, like, it's so exciting you can't help it, but then you kind of ruin a lot of the magic, you know.
You do, but at the same time, it's weird because, like, this generation for Sun and Moon, everyone was doing what we did with X and Y, which I'm sure everyone was doing the same with X and Y, and I got myself really hyped for that game, and when I finally played it, I loved it. But this one, I didn't really hype myself up for. I kind of kept myself in the dark. And then I ended up not really giving a shit about Sun and Moon. So I don't know if that's just a sign of,
you think maybe the hype, like, helped you?
I think that, like, the hype Yeah, I think that built me up to wanting to play it more, because this time around I didn't really care much for Sun and Moon. I maybe sunk 20 hours in it and I got bored. But then again, that when I was playing it was around the same time I started playing Witcher 3, so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I don't blame you, because I think you're onto something though, because you know that would have been the end of the 3DS's cycle, so a lot of that visual, like, oh my god, Pokemon are, they look like cartoons, a lot of that magic of it going to the 3DS was kind of worn down, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. I think there's got to be something to that, you know? You build something up, and then it's either going to, you know, meet and exceed those expectations, or it's just going to valiantly fail to meet those because you built it up so much. And X and Y was one of those games that managed to hit the hype.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it kind of reminds me, but that got me thinking of like when you, like, people like kind of stew themselves in like a hype stew, and it kind of makes that, like, people who, like, if there's a new Star Wars movie coming out, they'll just, like, for the couple weekends before that movie comes out, they'll just watch all the Star Wars movies, so they're like, their body is in like Star Wars mode. So
Yeah, I imagine it's the same with, like, Game of Thrones, too. You know, mm-hmm. Like, just that type of level. You want to be ready for the next entry. And especially with Pokemon, too, with how many Pokemon there are now. You gotta kind of remember the types and stuff to be competitive whatsoever.
Yeah,
I agree with what you guys are saying there. Like, I guess the reason I was really hyped for X and Y was I guess I had a kind of a falling off with Pokemon after Diamond and Pearl, and I think those came out like in 2006, and mm-hmm. it was quite some time since we got the next generation. It was like seven years since we got Pokemon X and Y, so like that was a lot of time.
You skipped Black and White.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did.
But you missed Black and White.
I did. Yeah. So I was actually,
you missed a good phase.
I feel like I did, because I went back and started playing those a little bit, per Morgan's request, and I really liked like the intro of the first one. Like it was cute to see all those starter Pokemon just running around in a room having a battle. I thought that was cute as hell to me for some reason, and you don't really get those types of intros, I guess, in Pokemon that kind of stick with you. But yeah, I did miss out on that generation, and there was some pretty cool Pokemon that came out of that generation as well. One being Scrafty. Really like Scrafty.
Scrafty. I forgot about that Pokemon. Yeah, you really missed out, man, because that's when Josh and I got back into it.
Yeah. That was a weird that was a podcast we did back in the day for secondplaythrough.com, and I remember I was like the Pokemon freak, and then Josh and Shay slowly got turned around on it, which that's kind of funny. It was a good time.
Yeah, we talked a lot of shit, Josh and I did, and then we both ended up buying our rental copies, because I remember that. I had Morgan had let me borrow his original 3DS, and or not 3DS, DS, and I took it with me to Bozeman for a week, and then I had rented the game, and I was like, fuck, I'm loving this game, but I'm not done with it. So I ended up buying a DS Lite and the rental copy from Hastings, and then I still own that copy now, because I love that game so much, and it brought me back into the world of Pokemon.
Nice.
Yeah, there's something to that, like when you don't play something for a long time and they make a big... Like for you guys just hadn't really cared about Pokemon that much in a long time, so it was kind of like fresh again. I wish Pokemon could be fresh like that for me again. I don't think it really... Until they make a really big evolution, like we've already talked about in the past, I don't think it's ever going to get there for me for quite a while. But I do remember X and Y being like one of those times where I just could not... Like, they were making my dream game, and it was really cool. And the games actually turned out to be really incredible games. So that would be one of my first selections. What about you, Fish? When I mentioned this topic at the beginning of the show, because I know you probably didn't do any preparation, what was the first thing that popped into your head?
You have no faith in me, do you? I was just kidding with you. You mentioned it earlier in the week, and I figured I'd find something. But I couldn't find anything until I was thinking about it real hard today at work. I found a really good one. It's you have to go back 10 years. Back in 2007. Back in time. In 2007, me and Morgan had our falling out. Not really. I just moved out and moved back in with my mom.
All the drugs, our lives just crashed.
No, I ended up back in my mom's house, and I ended up buying a 360 because that's like what we exclusively played back when me and Morgan had an apartment together, was the 360 and all the fun games that were on there. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to buy myself an Xbox. And I've been a Sony fanboy the whole time, but it was just like, that game just really that system really proved it to me that I should go out and get it. So I ended up getting that like back in like September, just in time for Halo 3 to come out, and had a blast with that. And I think I eventually got Call of Duty. I think that came out next, and that blew
BioShock,
me away.
BioShock probably.
BioShock as well. Yeah, I think that came out in August of that year. No, I didn't play that though until later on, because I ended up getting Mass Effect, and playing Mass Effect into 2008 for a few months. I just remember being real cold and playing Mass Effect on my TV, and a game was announced, which was GTA 4. And I was super hyped for that game. I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking next-gen graphics. I've already seen videos and demos of the game, and I was just super hyped for that. So that was coming out in, like, April, end of April, I believe, in 2008 it came out. And I already had it pre-ordered and put down all the money for it, so I was golden until it would come out. But sometime in... before that, I think it was in March, my Xbox started acting real fucking funny, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I was playing a demo of what's that game? Condemned 2 was on Xbox 360, and the colors all just shifted to like this weird like monotone type of color. I was like, what the hell? Something's up with my colors on my TV or something. So I ended up restarting my Xbox, and it started running fine. And then all of a sudden, I went back into Condemned, and it did the same thing. I was like, okay, this is fucked. And so I loaded up a game, and I loaded up Call of Duty, and my Xbox just totally crashed. And I was like, what the fuck?
Was it the Red Ring of Death thing that was going on?
I ended up turning it on, and sure enough, I got the 3 rings of death. And I was so pissed. I was like, oh, fuck. No. And I just freaked out and like ended up calling up their Microsoft and telling them about the situation. And they identified that it was indeed the Red Ring of Death, and they told me to send it to Mesquite, Texas. And I was like, okay. Ended up sending it off, and they gave me a UPS tracking number so I could track where exactly it was going and where it was at in transit. And the whole time I was just like, oh man, GTA 4 is coming out here soon, and I'm not gonna have
panicking like shit.
Yeah, I was like, I was hoping, because I already paid for that game, and I was like, I was just anticipating, just hoping that I would get the Xbox 360 in time. And it ended up taking them like a month and a half to actually get it back to me, and it was a refurbished one. It wasn't the original one. Which is fine. Like, at first I was like, oh, these motherfuckers, these dirty bastards gave me a refurbished fucking Xbox instead of fixing mine. But at that time, I mean, they were dealing with so much of the Red Ring of Death, because everybody was just seemed like they were having problems with their Xboxes.
Yeah.
Did you ever get that, Morgan, with your Xbox 360?
I want to say I did. Something happened to it like midway through its cycle, and I was dumb enough to buy a new one. And that always pisses me off when I buy two of the same system at some point in its life. But yeah, I did at one point get the, I think it was just called the Red Ring of Death. This isn't about the Three Rings of Death. I don't know what that is. But
I don't know. Was it four rings or
it's
was three,
it three? It was three lights. It was three lights.
Three lights.
By the, the Red Ring of Death.
Yeah. Yes. Red Ring of Death. Yes, at one point I did get it.
Mm.
Goddamn, yep. Microsoft is a scheme so they could make me buy two Xboxes. Fucking.
Yeah, I ended up getting it too, though. I mean, I got it on two systems. So I bought one refurbished from Hastings back when I worked there way back in the day. And then that one Red Ring, so I took it back and got another one. And then that one Red Ringed on me, and so they replaced that again, so that was the third one I got. And then I ended up buying the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 bundle, and then I still actually have that 360, but the disc tray doesn't really work anymore, so it's just like playing my downloadable games on it now. That's about it.
It's almost as if Microsoft didn't think people were actually going to play that system as much as they did.
Yeah, that was the fucking console of that generation. I mean, all the fucking games just seemed to be on the 360 that were just amazing.
But before we divert too much, though, you are like the master of foreplay. I imagine, Fish, your lady must be so pampered because you really build your stories up with a lot of foreplay. Because all I want to know is what it felt like when you finally played Grand Theft Auto 4.
Sorry, yeah. I like a lot of foreplay. This is true. This is very true. No, I ended up... I can't quite remember it, but... this is where the story ends. I'm sorry. No, it came out a little after it had already released, which pissed me off a bit because I had the copy sitting at my house and I was still tracking it by UPS. But as soon as I saw that it was making its way back to Florida, where I lived at, I was like, oh God, hell yes, it's getting here. And like every day I would track it, it was like, oh, it's in Jacksonville right now. Fuck yes, it's getting closer. And eventually it got to me. I was like, oh. And finally I put in, you know, GTA 4, and it was just like, I never felt so good about playing a video game at that point because I was so deprived.
Dude, that's different for Fish. Fish does not check tracking numbers and shit. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like I said, that was the system to play back then. And like, I was addicted to Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, Mass Effect, BioShock, Halo 3, like all those games like were just phenomenal to me back then. And
if you don't mind me asking before we move to Shay, I want to know, like, because knowing you, you were never really that big on Grand Theft Auto, and even nowadays you're not that big on Grand Theft Auto. What was it about Grand Theft Auto 4 that really connected with you? Because that just seems like a strange thing.
No, I was actually into San Andreas, and okay. I got all the way, I guess, to Las Vegas in that game, but doing those missions in Las Vegas, like, I eventually got burnt out trying to get through that story, which is sad. Like, in hindsight, I wish I would have just muscled through it and actually seen the end of that game, and I pushed you pretty hard
to play that game, if I remember right. I was like, Fish, you gotta play
you
this
did.
One.
Yeah, and there was like that one mission with the remote control airplane that you have to fly in San Francisco.
Oh, fuck that mission. Ugh.
Yeah, I pushed myself through that. Like, I was like, fucking Morgan's going to keep badgering me about fucking beating this game, so I'm just going to fucking try and do this. And it literally took me like days to actually finish that mission, but I eventually did it and just got burnt out at the very end of that game, which is sad, but... I really like that game.
But overall, did you end up going all the way through Grand Theft Auto 4?
Yeah, I beat it. I got all the way to the end. I really enjoyed that game. Like, they added some new features to that game as far as, like, NPCs, you can actually socialize with them in the world and like call them up on your cell phone. Like, all that stuff was just crazy to me at that time. I was like, wow, this is crazy that they're going that in depth to like simulate a real life type of situation where you pick up the phone and call up like Jacob, and like he'll be like, oh, you want to go shoot some pool? And you'll be like, yeah, pick me up over here. And then you'll just get a little quest line on the mini map, and you go pick him up and everything and drive on down to the pool and just shoot, or to the pool hall and start shooting some pool, which is fun.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's a cool story, Fish. That's I love asking those kind of things because I've known you my whole life and I would never have guessed that. So that's really cool. So that's it right here on the podcast. Fish said it. Grand Theft Auto 4 is the best Grand Theft Auto game, and he's also wrong.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
It was good. It was good.
It was a really cool game at the time. What about you, Shay? Like, whenever we brought this up, what came to mind for you?
I was really excited for the new NCAA 2K12, I think it was.
Uh-huh. What team are you looking forward to playing the most?
The Houston Oilers.
Wrong.
I'm kidding. I know they're the Houston Texans.
From now on, every time Shay's a smartass now, I'm just going to keep pushing him like to go further.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know any college football teams, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Not a single one for any sport. Oh, except my college.
2012, was that the year of, like, Tim Tebow, by chance?
I don't even know. No one knows anymore. Tim Tebow's an afterthought.
You're an afterthought. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm heartless. No, honestly, one of the games I was most hyped for was Skyrim, believe it or not. Just a little backstory. I really got into Oblivion. For listeners who don't know, I used to go to my friend's house and I'd bring my Xbox 360 over there and we would just all night play it like three nights a week. I loved Oblivion, and then when they announced Skyrim, I remember like just rushing down to GameStop and pre-ordering that game. And then I went to work the next day, and I was like, I need a week off for this game. So one of my 3 weeks of vacation went to getting to play Skyrim. One of my best friends and I actually planned this a few days out, where him and I just went into his basement. We bought a bunch of snacks and drinks and shit, and I brought my TV over, so we had two TVs. And we just sat in his basement for days and played Skyrim. And it was everything I wanted it to be. Like, just the anticipation, because that was, like, almost a year away when I did all that stuff, you know, prepared for it. And then actually getting to sit down and play it was like, God, this game is gorgeous. It's a step up from Oblivion in terms of graphics. Content. In terms of the story, it wasn't obviously as good, I think, as Oblivion. I think a lot of the guilds were better, but it's still, the hype was there. And I remember when we did the Skyrim podcast for SPT, I was in love with that game. So I think that game right there was probably the one I was most excited for, besides actually, and I know you'll appreciate this, Morgan, Final Fantasy VIII was probably the other one that I was super hyped for. So those were but Skyrim for sure would probably be the single biggest one.
That'll probably be my guess, because I remembered when you told me about your little party that you and your friend had, and I was like, well, I'm guessing that's got to be it, because that's, you know, if you're going to go to those lengths to make for a video game, then, you know, you're going all out.
Yeah. I mean, like, just pretty much anything Bethesda did in the realm of Elder Scrolls or Fallout, I've always been really hyped for. Those have been some of my favorite games in my adult life. And that's why, like, when a lot of people have been groaning at the VR announcements with these games, I'm absolutely on board with it. I think that it's the next logical step, and it just bums me out that so many people are jaded at this point to where they're like, oh, Bethesda has too many bugs, and it's like it's the next logical progression.
People like to shit on that stuff, and I don't understand why, because it's like, it's a lot of those people I'm telling you are mostly going to be VR skeptics, but it's just the idea that it's like, you loved the game already, so somehow being in that world is going to make it worse. Like, it doesn't, I don't know, the logic behind those things is just, it's really, you'll get a lot of negativity, like, well, those games look like shit anyway, so they'll really look like shit in VR. It's like, well, no, I mean, there'll be some sacrifices that are made, but in some ways, maybe a reimagined older game could look great too, because they don't have to drop the resolution as much as something modern. So, yeah, I don't get the negativity there either. I don't.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's just, yeah, naysayers that are, you know, it's, Bethesda is an easy person to hate on, because, you know, their games have been shit with a lot of bugs, but they're extremely popular, and, you know, it's just, they're a company that gets, I've ragged on them before in the past too, but the stuff that they're doing VR is, I think, really cool because it seems really smart. So anyways, before we got too divergent there, that's a good one, Shay. Skyrim. Good old Skyrim. If you're ever back in America, you can always come over and try out Skyrim on my VR. If you're ever back
in town. Oh, I'm gonna. I don't know if I want to try that or Fallout more, to be honest with you. Because I feel like the VAT system is going to be really, really cool to do in VR. I feel like that's just going to be epic.
Gameplay aside, I would say, which world would you rather be inside of?
Ah, fuck, dude. I don't know. That's hard.
The reason I would lean Skyrim is because Fallout is a depressing world full of cannibals and rapists.
It's true. It's true, but it's offset by the great music soundtracks that you have going through those games. I think that's why those worlds work so much, is because even though they're depressing, they have these ridiculously happy songs from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So the drab, dreary world is offset by this almost whimsical, easygoing music. But Skyrim, I mean, it's a beautiful world, but you also think about it, it has some lulls as well. I mean, how many times can you move through the same copse of trees, and then you're like, all right, I fucking get it, you know?
Well,
until you run into something like a Minotaur or something.
Yeah, no, that's true. It is, you know, with a game that size, it's going to be interesting to see, but if they incorporate they're talking about incorporating, like, a lot of the teleportation elements, so, like, I'm assuming if you get to a point in the game, let's say, where you would like to speed through an area, because it's in VR, I assume it hopefully will have options like that, instead of fast travel also. So I'm hoping those things pan out, because I remember stopping a lot of times in Skyrim when it came out, and just like hunting animals or exploring, and this one is remastered. I'm just wondering if maybe it's going to feel, you know, sometimes you go back to an older game and it feels old. That's my only concern, is that, like, with Fallout 4, At least it's a newer game, so I'm kind of curious about playing that in VR too, because it's more modernized. But
yeah,
Skyrim just got remastered. Keep that in mind.
It's true.
Honestly, like, I'd much rather have them, instead of just go revisiting games that have already been out. I'd like to see them actually just build something from the ground up for VR, which I think they could actually shine in. Instead of retooling these old games that have been around for years now. So, yeah, I'm not as excited.
No, get that shit out of here, Fish. Get it out of here.
You're
the one who's saying you're going to...
I like VR. I love it. You can say that. But I'd much rather just see the next Fallout be totally in VR. Like, that's something they probably wouldn't do, because then they would, you know, they'd essentially limit their copies that they actually sell out there, because not many people have adopted VR just yet, and myself included. Like, I'd much rather wait for them to come out with a better headset. Which is coming, you know. They're eventually gonna upgrade the tech in those headsets, and once it gets a little bit better, I think that a lot more people are going to start jumping into VR. I don't think VR is dependent on the headsets that are out now. I just feel like it's just people waiting on the tech that's soon to come, because it's still in its early stages of VR, and it's strong for what it is right now. But I'd much rather just see how much they can update those headsets, and so what kind of resolutions they could push out of those things.
Yeah, but the problem with that, though, is you think about the Xbox Kinect. When that happened, there were a lot of people that kind of waited, and they said that same thing, that Xbox Kinect was in its infancy. And then when the Xbox One came out, they had that, you know, that second tier or that second generation of the Kinect, and it flopped. I mean, they Kinect, nobody makes games for that anymore. And they tried to make games specifically for the Kinect. They tried integrating the Kinect into popular games like Mass Effect, and it flopped. And that's because not enough people bought it. So I just hope this doesn't happen with the VR, because I think the VR truly is the technology that could make the gaming experience that much better. I mean, you look at some like movies and shit from the 80s, Tron was based on this concept, and that's probably partially why Morgan likes it so much. But I mean, that's kind of what we've been pushing forward to for, you know, decades, and now that it's finally here, people are apathetic. And it's weird to me that that's kind of been the natural progression of where video games were going to go towards, and now people are shitting on it. I don't understand.
That's the only part of your logic that frustrates me, Fish, I will say, is that it's, if you think about it in that sense, it'd be like if you don't buy something, and no one bought the PS1, there would never have been a PS2. You know what I mean? Like, it's, if no one bought the iPhone 3 or whatever, there would never have been the iPhone 6, because there's like a progression to everything that all technology has to be, at least to some degree, supported in its infancy. And if you don't, then there's no, I don't understand if they don't make enough money off this version of VR because of skeptics that never try it, or maybe people that say it's really cool but I want the next iteration, then why would they be more inclined to put money into another iteration if this one is not a financial success?
Yeah, but you got to look at it this way. Like, the PlayStation was awesome. Like, so it was vetted and true that that thing was badass. Like, but if you think of like the Kinect, like, honestly, I thought that was just a stupid idea, and I didn't want to be standing in front of my TV doing a bunch of gestures and having playing games that felt limited to like the movement of your body, essentially, and a camera tracking you. Whereas like VR is like, it's something that is really fucking cool, and I think I've said this before, but I really feel like they need to have a lot more VR demo sets out there in the stores, so people can actually see what it is. Because, I totally love VR, but I get what you're saying as far as like not supporting them right off the bat. But I mean, I can't throw down, you know, $500 to start playing on a headset or upgrade a computer to where I can play VR in it. Like, that's just a big investment in that at this point, and I'd much rather just wait for the next thing. And I'm sure it'll come around, because VR really is something that's it's next gen, essentially, and it's, I don't think consoles or PC gaming's go away, but I feel like VR and consoles can indeed, you know, live side by side. VR maybe not as popular, but will essentially have kind of a slow growth, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll just say this, and then I guess we can move on. We don't have to argue about this the whole show. I'll just say we'll have to agree to disagree. But I just feel like your mentality is more emblematic of the gaming industry as a whole, and I feel like that's only because there'll be people who have no problem buying the Switch, or if there was another PlayStation or another Xbox, they'll find a way to justify that $500 in a year or two. And that's really not as an exciting of a technological jump. And I guess when I think about what Bethesda is doing with their VR games, I know you'd rather see something new. And of course, I would love to see Fallout 5 or Skyrim 6 completely built for both VR and regular. That's the dream, like Resident Evil 7. But I mean, I think this is their way of testing the waters interest-wise, because that's probably really expensive. And as a company, you know, you have to look into the financial side of it. So if it doesn't make intelligent business sense, doesn't matter how cool it is, they're not going to do it. So I don't know. I think the technology is good enough to support. Yes, of course, I'm with you, Fish. I'd like to see it get better. That's with everything. I'd like to see it get better. But sometimes if you wait and wait and wait, I just think that's dangerous ground. But we can agree to disagree, I guess.
That's fair. The one silver lining about this conversation is that PSVR headsets have surpassed 1 million sales. So there is interest out there. Just it's got to keep building. Yeah. And the one thing I would say about the old games as well is, for me, as much as I would like the newest game to be VR specific for that game only, there are certain games that, you know, I've loved and endeared myself towards that I would like to see, you know, be and fully surrounded by. You know, a Pokemon game would be one of those. Like, if they had somehow made Pokemon Sun and Moon VR accessible, guarantee you that game would have sold even more. You know, and that would have been a cool world to be in. If they made that game in 5 years, I would probably play it. And it's kind of the same thing here, is I really love Skyrim and I really love Fallout, and it would be cool to see those games that I loved get the updated treatment. And it's kind of to me the equivalent of making Shadow of the Colossus, remaking it twice, because that game was so loved that they've kept remaking it. And it's kind of the same thing with Skyrim. It's just one of those games that people love so much. So it makes, for me, financially, it makes sense. And for, on a more personal level, it makes sense to kind of go back towards a game that many people loved and one that I loved, so I can explore it in a different way. It's like reading a book 3 or 4 times in your life at different points in your life, because you get a different perspective of it. It's kind of the same thing to me.
Yeah. That I think that's a good point. And like, to be fair to everyone, who knows, maybe Skyrim will come out in VR and I'll play it, and maybe it won't be good. I don't know yet. I mean, this is all based off of, like, I know that I love VR, but I don't know how good the game, even though I like the idea of it, who knows if the execution will actually be great. We won't know until, you know, we get our hands on it. So still an element of it that is open to, you know, to be determined still. But yeah, I think it's an interesting debate, like just like we were having here, something people are talking about a lot right now in the industry. And that's when you get new exciting technology in its infancy, you get a lot of strange things happening. So it's going to be cool to see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, I think that should pretty much wrap up the anticipation talk. I think that's kind of a good angle to see where we're all coming at. The only thing I was going to add to it is that I can tell you guys I wanted to ask you guys as we close, what's the first game you ever waited in a midnight line for at GameStop to buy, Shay?
Fallout 3.
Fallout 3?
Actually. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
What about you, Fish?
First one I ever did was Halo 3. And that was fucking awesome, because it was at a mall, and like, it was just a fucking event. It was crazy. And that day I actually ended up buying a HD TV. It only went up to 720, but that's all you needed for the 360 at that time, because they were only outputting 720 on all the games. So yeah, that night I ended up getting a TV. Then like right before midnight, I got up to the mall, and holy shit, there was just there's line just wrapped all around the fucking mall of people just waiting for their copy of Halo 3, and like, there's it was crazy. Like, I'm glad I actually got to experience that, to like seeing people in like cosplay and like people with a Master Chief helmet on. I was just like, wow, this is insane to see all these gamers just all converging together to anticipating, you know, a midnight release of a video game, which is it was just awesome.
So, same here. I mean, mine wasn't Halo 3, it was Halo 2, but it was the same thing. The Halo 2 was the first midnight release I ever even heard of, and I remember they had TVs up, the Red vs. Blue, like, video series that went popular with the, you know, Rooster Teeth or whoever it was making those little Red vs. Blue Halo comedy videos. They were selling those at the register. There was line of Halo fans going all the way back, you know, wrapped around the inside of the mall. And that was original Xbox era. That was the first Xbox. I remember
that.
Yeah. That was crazy. The reason I asked you guys that is because I wanted to know the first, because that was another one I thought of. Like, people are so anticipated for that game. And I will say, on a final note, that I don't think any game has really ever lived up to the excitement for me in my head. Like, they're always great. Like, when I think about all these games, Pokemon, Skyrim, Grand Theft Auto 4, like, a lot of these games are incredible. But, like, there's always, like, this weird sense of, like, when I start playing a game, I'm like, I did build this up a little bit more in my head. Even though the game itself is actually pretty cool, so
that's fair. I've felt that a lot. Fallout 3 met and exceeded my expectations. Actually, the first one I went to was Halo 3. I forgot about that. Mine was Halo 3 as well. But I remember when I went in line and got Fallout 3, and I'm not even kidding about this. I got it, and then I didn't play it for a year. I didn't even open it.
What?
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. I was addicted to Call of Duty. That's what it was.
Oh god.
That's what it was.
Yeah. You must had a friend who was waiting in the line or something. Oh, that, yeah, I mean, that doesn't make sense. You'd wait in line for a game that you weren't even excited to play.
Yeah, I was with my friend and we got the game, and then I was still addicted to Call of Duty. It wasn't quite a year, it was about 8 months, and he's like, "Have you even played Fallout 3 yet?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "What have you been doing?" I was like, "I've been playing Call of Duty." He's like, "Dude, all right, that's enough." So we were playing at his house. He made me drive to my house, and then he sat me down. He's like, "You're playing this game right now, and you're going to play an hour of it, and I'm not leaving until you do." And he didn't have a car, so obviously I was his ride. So he sat me down, and I played an hour. I was like, "Damn, this game's good." And that was the beginning of me breaking my Call of Duty addiction, is playing that game.
That's good. Props to whoever friend. Who was that? What's his name?
That's Dustin. My good buddy Dustin.
Thank you, Dustin.
Actually, I got a...
Yes.
I was addicted to Call of Duty as well when it first came out. And the only way that I ended up stopped playing that game was... I did the stupid thing of like moving my Xbox while my game was running in there. Like, I wanted to turn it horizontal to vertical, and as I did that, I heard a big like screeching sound inside of it, and I was like, "Oh, fuck!"
Yep.
And I ended up, the game played fine. It was just there was minimal sound. Like, there was only like certain sounds would come through, like the announcer during like a multiplayer match would be the only thing that I could hear, which pissed me off, and I was just like, "Well, I guess I'm done with this game." But of course, there was that feeling inside me where I was like, "Should I buy another copy?"
You know what makes that worse is probably when you were playing online, you couldn't hear much of the sound of the game, but you could still hear little kids saying, "Fuck you, douchebag," and shit like that. You could probably still hear, don't hear the gunfire, but you hear little kids yelling at you.
I didn't look forward to any of that, and that being the only thing I could hear plus the announcer would have just driven me crazy. So yeah, I just immediately just put down that game and I moved on to some other game.
Oh, you guys and your Call of Duty addiction. That's cool. That's good. Good to hear. I always like to hear about those kind of stories. But anyways, yeah, moving along. Good talk, guys. As far as like catching up with us on our weeks and whatnot, real briefly, I did want to mention it's not really that big of a deal, but I did have a child. So I have...
Not that big of a deal. What the fuck?
Yeah, people do that every day. Whatever, let's move on.
Yeah. So, Metroid.
I'm kidding. That's awesome. Congrats.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I had a kid, and her name is Maisie, and she is downstairs right now with my girlfriend. And having a kid is just real weird as an adult, because I remember like almost being kind of oblivious to like just life and everything when I had my first kid when I was like 25. And it's just strange because I've learned and grown so much in 5 years, but now I feel kind of like an old man at 30 years old, that like having a kid now just is like, it's weird. It's so much weirder than having a kid when I was 25 years old. Not bad weird, just like you definitely feel like the pressure, like it's so much easier taking care of them. Like all the little things that I, like the sleep has been easy so far, like the diapers and all that stuff, like all that stuff seems so minimal. I'm a 30-year-old adult. I have 6 animals. I have a house I have to take care of. I have a 4-year-old. Like, all the stuff that used to be difficult about taking care of a kid now seems easy, which I think is funny. But the actual emotional context of having a kid is even more greater now, because I'm just like, caring and loving one kid is almost impossible now. I have to fill I put it on one of my Instagram posts that it's like, I'm doubling the amount of love in my life, but I don't feel like I have enough space for that inside of me, which obviously I do, but it's a little bit overwhelming.
That's what she said.
Very nice. very nice. That's the best that's what she said of the show so far.
Thank you. When you said doubling the love, you don't have enough room inside of you, I was like, oh man, I gotta get that in there quick.
I hope Josh
appreciates
that.
That's also what she said.
Oh, there we go. Shay's on a roll. But yeah, so it's been a crazy week. But like I told you guys, like this is one of the full things that keeps me going. My anxiety disorder, that like it's been like doing this podcast really helps me. So I did. I was gonna be in the hospital for a while, so I tried to prepare by bringing a game. And I was telling you guys last week that sometimes I go on these weird deep dives where I get interested in a game for like strange reasons, but it's usually contextual. For example, the new Metroid game we talked a lot about last week from the E3 show is being developed by this company called Mercury Steam. And there was a lot of, I guess, controversy, you could say, or talk, because they had made a Castlevania game for the 3DS that was not received really well. And I think it has like a 7-something on Metacritic, 78, something like that. And yet Nintendo trusted this company enough to let them make the next Metroid game. So I thought that was really interesting. And I was like, well, what did Metroid see in this company or this game, this 3DS Castlevania game that's very similar to Metroid, that gave them that faith? So that's kind of why I wanted to go check it out. And
what's the results?
I actually really like it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I know it's not a very popular opinion. The reviews for this Castlevania game for the 3DS, it's called Mirror of Fate, go from about... IGN gave it a 4.8, which is fucking crazy. Granted, I've only put about 5 hours in the game, so maybe it just completely goes downhill. Or, you know, there was a lot of 8s, 8.5s, 9s, and stuff like that as well. But they averaged out to about a 7, because people either thought it was great or they hated it. Or, of course, there's some level of in between. But the reality with this game is very simple. And that is... I remember, Shay, you came over to my house one time and you played... do you remember that Castlevania game that was kind of like God of War that you played at my house way back in the day?
Yeah, the one narrated by Patrick Stewart. I can't remember the exact name of it, but yes, I remember.
Lords of Shadow.
Yeah, it was 360. Yes, thank you.
Yes, yeah, Fish is right. Yep, Lords of Shadow. And then so that company made that game along with Kojima's productions as well. And this game feels exactly like a 2D... God of War or a 2D Lords of Shadow. And that's not a bad thing. It sacrifices a lot of the sort of Metroid exploration kind of stuff. It's like the exploration is very light. Like you do explore and there's backtracking and stuff and you get abilities to help you go in new places, but it's very light. It's not like Metroid where you get an ability and then it makes you want to go all the way back to an old area to dig in some cranny. It's not to that extent, but that's okay because the game feels great. Like just like the way he slings his weapon around. You play a bunch of different characters. I just got to Act 2 and you play as someone named Alucard. To be honest with you guys, I don't know shit about Castlevania. I'm just being honest with you. I don't really know a lot about that franchise. Do you guys have any familiarity with Castlevania at all of worth note?
Nope.
No.
Well, that sums it up. Yeah, it's just weird. So that's kind of... I played one for the Game Boy Advance that was really good called Harmony of Dissonance way back in the day, but that was about it. So that's kind of a series I'd like to go back to now in the future. I feel like it's something in gaming history I need to brush up on, and I want to. But anyways, the gist of it is it's like a 2D God of War or 2D Lords of Shadow. Real smooth. The character has a good weight to him. It looks great on the 3DS. The story is cheesy and the voice acting is bad, and that's all... fine, but it's weird. It's a mature game on the 3DS too, which is kind of strange. It's like rated M. It's got some strange thematic elements. Like I thought the last boss I fought was this like half naked woman with her breasts popping out, and she was like making out with other half naked women to get powers to fight you. It was just very adult and strange. Very God of War.
That sounds erotic.
I feel like that's what happens normally. In life is women with their breasts out make out with other women with their breasts out so they gain power. It's how women are gaining power nowadays.
That's how we gain power, making out with women with their breasts out. I mean, that's really the key to everything. But yeah, the bosses are great. The checkpoint system is really cool. Like, it'll checkpoint you multiple times even during a boss, which almost makes it too easy sometimes, but there's multiple difficulties. It just looks great. It plays great. I think the reason, if you want my final verdict on the 5 hours I've played so far, is just that I feel like people expect it to be more like maybe the Game Boy Advance Castlevanias, and there's definitely some rough storytelling areas, but like the core of what makes the game fun is a lot of fun. So it's an easy recommendation for me for people if they find it for cheap. And it definitely has increased my faith in what this company can do with time and proper direction with a new Metroid game. So, and I played with the 3D on just a little bit too. Like, I don't know how you guys play because I don't like the 3D all the way up because it's like, it's too much. It just fucking looks weird. But I pull the 3D up just a little bit. So, you know, the background has a little depth.
That's so weird that people don't like the 3D on the 3DS. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like, there'd be times where, like, I would turn it all the way the fuck up and, like, yeah, you have to have your eyes fixed on it at a certain angle to really get the effect of it. But once you get that effect, like, I really enjoyed it. Like, especially in a handheld. It was a little uncomfortable at times, but I don't know why a lot of people don't like that 3D effect on those games. Like, eventually, you know, I'll turn it off. Like, Pokemon X and Y, like, eventually whenever I started, like, breeding out Pokemon, like, I would just turn it off and not enjoy it. But there's some gems in that game that really made some good use of that 3D effect on there, so... I don't know why people give it such a hard time.
Yeah. Kind of like why I don't mind people...
It's gamers. They're jaded.
They are. The thing with gamers, and I love them to death, is that they don't like change. VR, even the 3DS was a huge success. One of the best-selling systems of all time, and all you hear about people saying is, I love my 3DS, but I turn the 3D off. You know, it's just... I don't know why we are such a finicky, adverse community, and I don't mean that as any disrespect to anybody out there who doesn't like the 3D. You're welcome to that opinion. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just, in general, I agree with you, Fish. I hear that a lot. I don't feel like we're pulling this out of, I don't feel like we're fabricating this. I think that is a common misconception. And to be fair, I don't play with it all the way on either, but I like that there's the option to adjust it or turn it off. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
And if you love the 3D fish, one of these days you really got to play Mario for the 3DS. I'm telling you, of all the 3DS games I've ever played, it's the only one that actually used 3D. There are a lot of games that do that. I haven't played them. But it was the one I played that I was impressed the most with. It actually used the 3D as gameplay. For example, there are parts in the game where you cannot see where you're supposed to jump if the 3D is not on.
It'd be kind of like a 2D type of scenario, but you really need to put it into the third dimension to see exactly where you're positioned to jump on there. That sounds fun for like a platformer for sure. And especially a first party Nintendo game. I'm sure they nailed down that 3D effect in there. So,
I'm going to mail it to you. Unless you want to. It's Mario 3DS Land.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry. Super Mario 3D Land. I totally butchered the name. And that was the game I talked about on our Favorite Games of the Year show. It was my favorite game that didn't come out that year that I played. God, it's been such a long time since we recorded that show. But yes, Fish, if you love 3D, you should give it a shot. Anyways, I'm going to stick with the game. I think it's really cool for what it is. And I feel like the people are just a little too harsh on it, and I feel kind of bad for Mercury Steam in that regard. But really excited for them to get a crack at Metroid, and I now see what Nintendo saw in them. There's just a good feel to playing that game, and that's like the most important thing when you're playing a game, right? Is how does it feel? And it feels great. And I say that as someone who's been playing games my whole life, that it just feels great to play. So definitely recommend it if there's someone out there who doesn't mind putting some time into it. Or if you'd like to debate me on why I'm wrong, I'd love to get more like viewer feedback on like, you know, fuck you, Morgan, you're wrong because of this, this, and this. I love that shit. So maybe one day. Anyways, last funny thing I mentioned before we move on, I want to talk to you guys about your week a little bit. Obviously, that's been the bulk of my week. A child. I tried to play that game when I could at the hospital, even though obviously I was not in the best headspace, but I did. And then I wanted to tell you guys that I didn't really play a lot of VR, but sorry, I lost my train of thought. Save me, Fish. Save me. No, nothing. Nothing. Okay, let's try this again. Shave me, Shay. Save me, Shay. Save me.
I will shave you.
All right. This is really going downhill. If I think of it, I'll let you guys know. But it's been a pretty crazy week. So thanks to everyone who has, you know, congratulated me on having my daughter. That's been really cool. And so that's kind of what I like to do when I'm inspired. I like to delve into the history of these studios that make games, that there's a little story behind it to see. You know, that it's kind of like, Shay, you could probably relate to this. Like, if you find out that maybe, like, someone's in a musical act that you love, and then you're like, oh, they were in a band, like, 10 years ago that no one really ever heard of or people didn't really like. So you go to seek out that band. Like, oh, Howard Jones was in this band or whoever, that drummer I love. And then you can go back and find, like, kind of where they came from. And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, for sure. You kind of, like, delve into the roots and you understand the inspiration of the current project. Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. I just love that ship. Anyways, that's been my week. So thank you for trying to barely save me there, Shay. And thank you for nothing, Fish, you motherfucker.
You're welcome.
Leaving me to die.
Yeah, thanks, Fish.
But yeah, that was cool. I didn't even think we're going to have a cool discussion about the nature of the 3D and the 3DS. But I love those kind of talks. What about you, Shay? How has your week been?
It's been pretty uneventful. Studied a lot of Japanese this week. I felt the weight of not understanding enough Japanese kind of on my shoulders as I got to get an oil change for my vehicle, and I don't know how to go about that. So I have to use my resources, and the longer I'm here, the more I need to learn, and I haven't been making enough time for it, so...
I actually have some
good
advice on that.
It's a work in progress, of course. Go for it.
Just get a bike.
Well, this car is gifted to me by the company, and I use it to get to and from work every day. So,
how long is your commute to work?
It's about 15 minutes.
Oh, well, I guess that'd be quite a bike ride.
It is, and it's the rainy season right now, which hasn't been raining much. Thank you, climate change. And Trump. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Thanks a lot, Trump.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about anything. But
Shay's just saying not kidding. It's going to get hot there, man. I was listening to a podcast today. They were talking about how they were kind of jealous of the people who get to bring those umbrellas out in the summer and how they were embarrassed to, but they wanted to because it's going to get so fucking hot in like August and shit in Japan. So.
Yep. It's going to get super hot. It's already been pretty hot now, but it's manageable. But other than that, really went out last night to get some food and some stuff for my apartment with a couple friends. And I had this funny event happen that I really wanted to tell you guys about. So we went into the convenience store to somebody needed to buy something. And I decided to walk out a little bit early. One of our other friends was outside. And as I'm walking outside, this Asian woman grabs my arm. And she says something to me in Japanese. And I was like, I don't know.
You need to pay for your food.
Yeah, I don't know what she's saying. Because I didn't buy anything. And she was walking into the store. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying. And then she says something again. I was like, yeah, don't know what you're saying. And she said, sex, beautiful woman, sex. Mm. And I realized at that point she was a hooker propositioning me to go have sex with her. Because then she started pulling my arm, like trying to pull me away. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she got visibly pissed and just let go of me and then went in the store. And I was like,
was she a beautiful
what
woman?
The I was so shocked by what was going on. I don't remember what she looked like even. A likely story. But no, so we we laughed about that. We walked around. We tried to go into this video game cafe, but we decided against it. And then we went back the way that we had come, and there were just prostitutes lined up all down the street. It was crazy. And then I saw that same woman and I did not make eye contact. I just like stared at my phone and I was like, I'm not looking at
Japan.
This woman.
That's all the married men stay sane there.
You know what? That's I'm not gonna comment on that at all.
I will. But that's how the married men stay sane there. Wait, that's a funny note.
Is prostitution actually legal there? Like,
yes.
Oh, okay.
From my understanding, it is.
I don't see why. I mean, regardless of how you feel about it, I don't think it should be illegal. I mean, it's fucking. If you want to do that, that's fine. Even if you don't agree with it, I don't know why it's illegal here in the States. That's strange to me. Anyways,
morals get in the way.
Well, I mean, if you can be a more moral person and just not do it, if that's your moral code, but I mean, why should it be illegal if someone is willing to pay to have sex and that person's willing to have consensual sex with them for money? Well, what is the problem? Exactly. There's no problem.
Essentially, I was trying to think.
It comes down to the Bible, of course, and America's heavily into Christianity.
You're stumbling. You're stumbling. You can't even support that.
I don't support it.
The Bible.
The Bible doesn't even dictate law either. You know what I mean? At least not really much anymore. It's just strange to me. Unless you're in Nevada, like one small place in Nevada in here where it's prostitution's legal. Just weird. And you have to go all the way to the wasteland to find a couple brothels. Don't get it. Anyways, sorry.
New Vegas?
Yep.
New Vegas? That's right. We're bringing it back to Fallout. Huh.
That's right. But other than that, tonight I think tonight we're gonna go to the beach here shortly. Some friends and I am gonna go to the beach, and then afterwards we're gonna go to a hookah bar, a nice hookah bar. Mm. And then after that, I'm gonna go play some video games. I think at the
critical
video game
hit
bar.
Get some videos. People love that video.
It's been too long.
Last time, do it.
I will. It's been too long.
What are you going to play? What are you going to play there?
Super Metroid.
I don't know. I'm going to walk in.
Super Metroid.
Super Metroid. I tried to get Shay to buy that for $4. Did you buy it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God damn it. I'm sad.
Morgan's clearly upset.
He's not pissed.
Well,
I know. I can see.
I want him to play Super Metroid 2, Fish. I just don't know if that's a good... Like, how long are you going to be at this bar playing this game? I need to know context here.
About an hour.
If things go really well at the beach in the hookah bar, will you be skipping Critical Hit to go back to your hotel room?
No.
All right.
I'll be going to the video game bar.
All right. For about an hour? Sure.
Yeah. Maybe if I'm having extra fun, I might... squeeze 2 hours out.
I'm also voting Super Metroid as well. If you had a picture and a video of you playing Super Metroid at that bar, like, people would love that shit, and me and Fish would love that shit. Josh would love that shit. Did you hear Josh last week when you told him you never played Super Metroid? Did you hear the sadness in his voice?
Yeah, the disappointment. Yeah. In like my life,
like,
was
a disappointed
apparent
dad.
Readily. Yes.
It's like, great.
Where did I fail you?
Just, yes. Just promise me, Shay, wherever you play it, at least for a little bit, you listen to some of the music in that game, which is great. I have a feeling for playing that in a bar, though, you're not going to be able to hear it, right? Is it like, do they let you?
No, it's not like a bar. It's not a bar. Like, it's not like rowdy and shit. People are pretty respectful in there, and everyone is going in there to play video games, and I'll be able to hear it. Like, when I was playing Kirby that one time that I went to that bar, I could hear it easily. So there's no concern there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great idea. Shay was talking about doing some mini video series on that, that I think is a great idea. Sword Chomp Critical Hit, or whatever we end up calling it. So people would love that. I mean, that video you sent me last time that I put on Instagram, the quality was awful, and people still loved it. So
it was me just panning around trying to show that place low-key without being disrespectful or anything like that. But this time, yeah. I'll ask if I can shoot just like a very small video of me playing, and then ask him if it's cool if I come once a month to do that and see what he says. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be cool with it because it's more exposure for him.
Exactly. Tell them that you have a pod. Tell them all about our podcast and our followers. Just build us up. Yeah, that's what you have to do. Anyways,
I'll do
sorry.
It.
I mean, now I'm all stumbling over my words too. Yes, that would be awesome. Super Metroid is also my vote, but whatever you play, Shay, I'm sure we'll be happy to talk about it. So,
yeah, for sure, for sure.
Anthony Fisher, when's the last time you said me and my friends are getting ready to go to the beach in a hookah bar?
You'd have to go back 10 years with that one, I guess.
Like, he said, oh, I thought you were going to do like an old man thing there.
Well, back when I was a young whippersnapper and I didn't have a family to take care of, I was out and about just frolicking, doing whatever I fucking pleased.
We need to work on your old man voice. That is a strange voice. I don't know what the fuck.
That'll be
come on, Shay.
In what, 20 in, years from now.
No. What's your old man voice, Shay? I want to hear it live on the spot.
I could do an old lady.
Fine.
Instead.
I'll pass.
Okay.
Hello? Is this Joyce? Joyce? This is Edna? Do you have the prune salad? And the pickles? And the pickles. And the pickles.
Okay,
and
that's enough.
The pickles.
That's enough.
Is that Dane
Cook?
That
was pretty good.
And the pickles.
No, it's just something like an inside joke between a friend and myself that has gone on for like 10 years. We'll randomly call each other up and we'll do that bit. That's great.
Mm, nice. Prune salad.
Yeah, very nice.
Never had it.
No, oh, me neither.
Fish, you've had a prune salad. You just don't know it yet. You know, that reminds me of when Shay was saying, that's actually how Like when that lady came up to you and she was like, "Sex, beautiful woman," and she grabbed your arm. That's actually that's how me and Fish met. Actually, sex, beautiful woman is sure. Yeah.
Which one was the beautiful woman? Is the question.
It was just my ploy. It was just my ploy to get him into a room by himself, and then it was just like, aha. No, but I don't know where I'm going with this joke. How was your week, Fish?
Well, it hit triple digits as far as the temperature here is in Texas today, which sucks. It sucks having 100-degree weather. Makes working fucking 10 times more miserable, because as soon as you step outside or you do any work in the warehouse, you start sweating balls and you get sweat running down your ass crack. And it's just uncomfortable as fuck.
We're doing great for this show. That's sweaty ass cracks and creepy old ladies and the prune salad.
We're bringing it.
I actually was looking at the pictures online, and in Arizona it's so hot right now that it's actually melting things outside, like plastic garbage cans
Jesus
are melting and shit.
Christ.
So I can only imagine how bad it is in Texas right now.
Yeah, like the heat index, I looked at my phone just to check it out, 123. And granted, the heat index is what it feels like, but still, it's like, holy shit. And it's also humid here for some fucking reason, but thankfully it's supposed to rain tomorrow and bring it down to like 78 degrees, which is manageable, but there's still going to be that humidity that lingers after it, which pisses me off. It just pisses me off that I know in the coming week it's just going to be humid and hot as fuck, so it just makes life a little bit more miserable as far as doing any work or outdoor activities. I'm trying to limit my time spent indoors. And thankfully I got a game that I could play. Morgan mentioned it, Prey. Got that for my anniversary from my wife. She was nervous at first. Like, I never told her that I was interested in Prey, but she was like, I guess she went to GameStop and she just asked them what game she should get me, and she was nervous about me liking it or not. And I told her, I was like, well, yeah, I played this demo and I was really intrigued by it. So played a little bit of that last night. I started it and got pretty much up to where the demo ended. No big surprises, but I did do quite a bit of, like, I didn't do this in the demo, but there's a lot of like hidden areas you could get to that you don't necessarily have to have like a key card. And one cool thing is, like, that I really like about this game as opposed to like similar games like BioShock, is like you could climb a bunch of stuff, and there's actually a button to press. It'll tell you to press X to climb on something, and I was climbing all over sorts of shit, getting into the rafters of the ceilings and everything, and dropping down into secret rooms. And it's a lot of fun, and looking forward to playing more of it. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, the story's sort of, it's a bit slow pace. It's more about the immersion in this space station that had a tragic accident, and you find out about all those experiments that they've been doing up there. And apparently you were the, I guess, president, having all those experiments done on you. But it's very interesting. I like that sci-fi setting and everything, and the combat I started changing up a bit, like knowing that there was a torrent like around the corner, and me coming across like a bunch of those little critters, I forgot what they're called, but yeah, I would just lure them to the torrent and just have that
the little smoke creature things.
Yeah, little black dudes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
sorry. No, it's a good game though. I really enjoy it. Hope to play some more of it.
That's always the frustrating part, is when you play a demo and then you have to like catch up to where you finished the demo at, so you can.
Yeah, I kind of ran through that whole beginning part because for the most part it was same as the demo, which sucked. And it didn't save over from the demo for some reason. I thought for sure it would, like, save over and it would just pop up in my game, but it didn't, so... but yeah, I got caught up to it pretty quickly. I only put about 2 hours in it, but I did do a bit of exploring. But yeah, I like, definitely like what that game is offering so far. And yeah,
it's definitely right up your alley. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter was watching it and she was entranced by it too. Like, I was kind of narrating my actions a little bit, and she really likes that. So I was trying to make it fun for her. And like, I usually don't get scared in games, like as far as like jump scares, but like I would kind of ham it up for her. And like, whenever an enemy pops around the corner, I'll be like, ah, and she'd start to giggle, and she'd start trying to tell me what to do in the game. And I was just trying to get her involved in it, and she was really enjoying watching it. There's nothing too violent in that game. I mean, you are fighting just like these black masses of monsters.
Yeah, so it's not like there's blood shooting everywhere or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, and most of the crew members are dead. So, I mean,
it's true.
The only violent things she really sees is like the dead bodies. So I'm fine with her just watching me play that game. But yeah, she was enjoying me kind of playing through it as well. So yeah, it's definitely a... got that cinematic type of vibe to it.
Yeah, I'm curious. I hope you stick with it enough to kind of get into it, because I'm curious to see if that game clicked with you at all. Fish is notorious for like doing things I think most normal human beings do out there in the world, where you start a game and get a couple hours into it. I mean, look at all the laundry list from this year. You know, Horizon, Fallen to the Wayside, among all the other games that we played, for the Resident Evil 7. Like, I'm curious to see if you end up playing anything that clicks with you enough to where you just want to finish the whole thing, or if, you know, you're just gonna end up with a bunch of half finished games that you go back to at the end of the year or summer or whatever.
Yeah, and part of that's like a lot of these games are like 10-20 hour campaigns. Like, the only campaign that I could really think of that I wanted to beat is, you know, Uncharted 4, and that's just because like I was mesmerized by the story, the characters, and everything that I saw through that kind of linear and shitty type of gameplay as far as like combat and everything. But yeah, I think it's gonna have to be like, I really need to delve into like shorter type of experiences, like PlayerUnknown's. Like, I really enjoy that because I can just jump right in and start a match, and those matches only last about 15-20 minutes. So yeah, I really get into those shorter type of experiences that I could jump into and feel fulfilled, you know, and not have to advance a story or anything like that. Same thing goes to Rocket League, where I could just jump in and play a few matches and stuff like that. But like a shorter type of indie game out there.
Or about 15 hours. Knowing Fish, it seems to be, well, you didn't finish Resident Evil, and that's less than like 10 hours. I don't know. Things happen. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, you probably put like 15 hours into Horizon, or no?
Yeah, I think so. 15 Maybe. Or 20 oh. hours. But yeah, that, like I said, that game's like a bigger type of game. I mean, you can mainline it in around maybe 30-40 hours, but still, that's quite a bit of time.
Yeah. That was a great game. Sometimes I forget Horizon came out this year because it's been such a crazy year. I'm like, fuck, Horizon, we just played that a couple months ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm eventually going to have to beat that game before the end of this year.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to talk about, among other things. All right, well, it sounds like you had a pretty productive week, a sweaty ass crack, and some Prey. So that's not all bad.
Oh.
Could be worse. Speaking of sweaty ass cracks, Shay has a new challenge he wanted to introduce to any of our listeners brave enough to do it, to see if we can get this going or not. And I will give him the floor for his new challenge.
Thank you. So I kind of had some inspiration this week reading a Reddit post where this guy, maybe some of you have done it. It's called 100 Days of Rejection. And basically, you do things on a daily basis to purposefully get rejected, and this kind of builds your your confidence up and your ability to accept rejection. Because, you know, we as humans always want acceptance and are afraid of rejection. So this is kind of where this idea originated from for me this week. And I kind of got to thinking, why don't we kind of do some interesting challenges as gamers? Because like you said earlier, Morgan, we as gamers always get very comfortable. And Fish, you said this too. We get very comfortable and set in our ways. So I kind of wanted to, you know, do some challenges. Some of them are going to be easy. Some of them are going to be difficult. And what I want theoretically to happen is, if any of our listeners do this, just tag us in the social media. You know, like take a picture of you doing this and tag us, because we'd love to share that with you. We want this to be a community. We want to share in it. So for the first challenge this week, I wanted to do an easy one. And what I wanted to do was ask our listeners to ask a friend or a family member to come over and play a couch co-op game. It doesn't have to be a long day. It can be half hour, you know, any amount of time. But invite a friend over, play any type of game, video game, and then take a picture of it and then tag us in it on social media. And it's a pretty easy challenge, but I want us to challenge ourselves to do new things. So invite a friend over, play a couch co-op game. Make it happen. And when you tag us, just hashtag, I couldn't even remember the fucking name. Hashtag sword chomp for us, please. We want to share that with you guys.
Yeah, and Shay will be watching for those on the Twitter page. And yeah, like I said, no friends, get your wife or your girlfriend or even your kids, your son or your daughter, anything.
Yeah, or your dad, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. Have your dad, your mom, anyone. You know what? Ask your grandmother over and have her play a game with you. That'd be awesome.
Have her bring her prune salad, too.
The prune salad?
That reminds me of a very specific old lady from like a TV show or something, and I can't remember it, and it's bothering me. Anyways, bravo. A couple things to kind of round up the last chunk of the show here. Feedback stuff-wise, you said we had a comment on the Twitter about our most anticipated show, Shay, from...
Yeah, we had this lovely, lovely, lovely comment from Mr. Zach Bell. I had basically posed...
Shay's gonna shit. Sorry, go ahead.
I posed the query asking, you know, what was the hardest wait for a game ever? You know, because that was our question for this week. And Zach Bell had said Kingdom Hearts 3, and I was like, you know, that's a pretty legitimate answer. And he said it's up there with Final Fantasy 15, Fantasy 15, and The Last Guardian, and this Final Fantasy 7 remake, all of which I think are pretty legitimate, because a lot of those have taken years and years and years. He had said Kingdom Hearts 3 since 2005, Final Fantasy 15 took 10 years, Last Guardian took 9, this Final Fantasy 7 remake has been rumored since PS3. First was made, so that's over 10 years. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So yeah, we just had a little dialogue
Square
about
Soft
that.
Games or Square Enix games. That's
big Square fan. I'd love to talk to him about Final Fantasy 15 sometime, because I love that game, and maybe what he thinks about the new FF15 fishing game. So maybe we'll tweet that out tonight to our good friend Zach Bell, or at @BadZach and _BadZach. And we will, you know, we'd like to have that conversation with our listeners. So thank you. And a lot of people are still waiting for the Kingdom Hearts 3. So it's in fact, the problem is for me, that went from anticipation to just like, it's been so long since I touched a Kingdom Hearts game that I just don't really care anymore. And I don't mean that as an insult to the games. It's just been, it's been too long. So.
Yeah, I felt the same way with The Last Guardian. Like, they announced that for the PS3, and I was like, oh, I fucking can't wait. I love Shadow of the Colossus, and, you know, halfway through the life, or 2 years into the life of PS4, it finally comes out, and it's like that hype was long gone and dissipated, and they didn't do a good job of, you know, hyping us along the years that they were doing it. Like, that's just bad for companies to announce something so early when they really don't have a set date of when they're going to come out with it, and too much time to pass past the initial hype can essentially just make you not is essentially want to play the game at that point.
Too much. It's like, yeah, Shay was talking about earlier, full circle. You can stew in the hype for a game and just live in a nice, you know, hype fest of it, but at some point, it's got to come out. So, I blame Square Enix or Squaresoft or whoever you want to call them for that. So, waited too long. But thank you. Yeah, good comment. I wanted to say a couple cool small things.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. A couple cool small things. As you guys know, the interview I did with Nathan McCree, the Tomb Raider composer, he tweeted out today, tears were streaming down his eyes, the Tomb Raider suite just barely got funded, so congratulations, very happy for him.
Woo! Get to record a whole album of that. That's awesome.
I'm sure, I don't really know if we had any effect on it, but it's just cool to, you know, if that Kickstarter had failed, I would just been so bummed out. I mean, yeah, I still got my dream interview, and it was still a really cool thing, but it would have just been kind of, you know, a bummer if it had fizzled out. So, and happy for him, just because I was following him toward the end there, and he, like, whoever he was working with, I don't know where they were getting this in their budget, but he was really pulling out all the stops for, like, getting people to re-donate on their Kickstarter. Like, I think because he knew at the end it was looking not so great, so, like, every day he would get on Facebook and be like, I have a new announcement, Tomb Raider fans, stay tuned tomorrow. And it would be like, oh, and we just have a new Tomb Raider shirt that you'll get if you pledge more than $20. Or, oh, if you pledge more than $50, you get this, like, 3D printed, like, Tomb Raider statue. And he just kept dropping all this stuff. I'm like, I don't know how he's fucking doing this shit. Like, he just, but it was really brilliant on his part, because he got a lot of people. I was reading the comments and they were like, I just pledged $50 more. And I'm just like, you know, I'm happy that this thing succeeded, but at the same time, some of these people are going to walk away and just be like, I spent $150 on this thing. But I'm happy for them, you know. All those people that spent all that money.
Got to respect that hustle.
You got to.
Yeah. Good job, Nathan. Yeah, buddy.
I pledged $50, and I think I get a signed piece from his composition, a signed, I think it's two albums. I think I get a T-shirt as well. I can pull up right now. But the point is, like, I'm a huge fan. I mean, obviously, you guys know that, wanting to do the interview with him. And 50 was the most I could consciously say, as in my financial situation. Now, granted, people out there have different financial situations. So, but yeah, I put $50 toward it because, you know, I didn't want to, you know, bother him forever I didn't want to bother him forever for an interview and then, like, pledge, like, $10. I just thought that'd be kind of weak, you know. So, hopefully, maybe when he's going to pack up, you should have backed him, Fish. Hopefully, maybe he's packing up my little project, he sees my name on it and goes, oh, Morgan, I remember doing that interview. Here's a extra something something. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to get shit for free, as you can tell. So.
Stop that. No pandering.
Respect the hustle. It's not like he's listening to this podcast right now anyway. I mean, it'd be cool if he was. I get it's called the Tomb Raider Suite Golden Idol for $50 or more. I get a jewel CD, double CD of the Tomb Raider Suite, a signed concert poster, which I will frame and put in my podcast room, a signed first page of the score for the Tomb Raider theme, a signed concert program from the world premiere of the performance in London, and a digital download of the Tomb Raider Suite as well, which maybe I'll give to one of you guys. So, pretty cool. And,
Tubular.
Some of the final, like, if you pledge $7,000 or more, you got to go to a banquet with them, I believe. This is crazy. I have to read this. It says you will also receive 5 invites to the composer's buffet reception, choice of either London or San Francisco, where you'll be able to meet the composer in person and other special guests. This is a unique opportunity to have quality time with Nathan and talk about the project, asking questions, and find out all you've ever wanted about the music. That was $7,000 pledges, and there was 3 people that did that.
That's awesome. That's great. Great to hear that there's fans out there that are just willing to, you know, I mean, money at that time, at that point, I guess, is irrelevant, and they just probably want to meet the composer and shake hands with them and, you know, share the same space and hopefully, like, sit down with them and get to eat, too, which just sounds really cool, you know, especially if there's somebody that you admired and admired their work and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyways, cool thing. That's all I wanted to say is that I'm happy that turned out for the positive. So congratulations, Nathan. As we kind of wrap up, and again, thank you again for the interview. Not like you're listening to this anyway, but it meant a lot to me. Now, as we wrap up the show, I think we pretty much covered everything. Pretty good week. Hopefully Josh will be back next week or maybe the week after. We might look into possibly having a guest on the podcast as well. We've been talking about that. So a lot of cool, exciting things happening in the world of the Chompcast and Sword Chomp. So I think that's it. I think that's going to wrap it up. I'm looking through my notes here. I don't see anything else that we missed that I really wanted to talk about. And if I did, then, well, we'll be back next week. So thanks again for taking a couple hours of your life to listen to us. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you're still hanging around, please subscribe and leave a kind rating for us wherever you download the podcast. It means a lot to us, and we will be back next week with a brand new Chompcast.
And the pickle?